Turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. We've been going through Romans. We've been in Romans 12. But there is a verse of Scripture here in Romans 10 that we know well and we quote often. We know it very well. We quote it very often. Many people know it. Many people quote it. And many people look to it for their hope of salvation. They honestly do. Many people claim this as their hope of salvation. But I got to thinking about this verse, and it struck me that we can look to this verse, this word from God. We can trust what this is saying, as long as we understand what it's saying. We can, as long as we understand what it's saying. So that's our goal for this Bible study. I'd like for us to enter into what this verse of Scripture really means. What it really means. I pray the Lord might open our eyes and open our hearts to this. I sincerely do. Our kids are with us here in this Bible study this morning, and I'm so glad. I pray the Lord will teach you something in this. Pray the Lord will teach all of us something in this. All right, let's see what this really means. Romans 10, verse 13. It says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now that is the truth. Buddy, that is the truth. That's the absolute truth. We can literally hang our souls on that. Don't you want to hang your soul on something? Your eternal soul. We can hang our souls on that. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." This same thing is said in Acts chapter 2. Turn with me over there to Acts chapter 2. Verse 16, Acts 2, verse 16, it says, "But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." Both Acts chapter 2 and Romans 10, they're both quoting the book of Joel. That's where this came from. "This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel," verse 17, "It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord." Verse 21 says, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Whosoever. Whosoever. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That verse is in the Word of God three times. Joel, they're quoting Joel. Joel, Acts, and Romans. If it was only in here one time, it would stand forever. But it's in here three times. "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Bank your soul on it. But our Lord said something in Matthew 7 that we need to pay close attention to in regard to calling on Him. All right, turn with me over there to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, it says, our Lord said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." He said, not everyone who says, Lord, we want to be saved, will be saved. Not everyone who says that is going to be saved. Not everyone who says, Lord, we want to come into heaven, not everyone who says that is going to enter into heaven. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, do you hear me? I'm calling on you. I'm calling. Not everyone will be heard and answered. Now, our Lord does not lie. And He does not contradict Himself. Ever. Never, never, never. So if He said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if He said, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, is going to be saved. Well, then clearly that must be two different things. That has to be two different things. If saying, Lord, Lord, we want to be saved. Lord, we want to enter into heaven. If that was calling on Him, then according to His own word, that soul would be saved. And that soul would enter into heaven. But because according to His own word, not every soul that says that is going to be saved and is going to enter in, clearly, saying that is not calling on Him. It's absolutely not. Saying, Lord, we want to be saved, is not calling on Him. All right, then what is calling on Him? What does call on the Lord mean? Now, I'm going to tell you, call on the Lord. Here's the message. Call on the Lord. What does call on the Lord mean? If whoever calls on Him shall be saved. What does it truly mean to call on Him? Well, Joel, where it is first mentioned, that'll give us a little insight to this. Turn with me to the book of Joel. If your Bible's like mine, it's page 1139 in the Old Testament. If it's not, it's after Daniel. It's between Hosea and Amos. 1139 in my Bible, though. Joel chapter 2. Now, all of what we read in Acts chapter 2 is mentioned right here in these last few verses. But verse 32 says, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered." For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Now, this is the first thing we can see right here. Only the remnant that the Lord calls will call on Him. Truly call on Him. The only reason that any sinner truly calls on Him is because the Lord first called on the sinner. So we could say it this way. Only God's elect will truly call on the name of the Lord. Whoever does is going to be saved. But only the called, the remnant that the Lord calls, only the called will call. Only God's particular whosoevers. And that's all I want to know is, am I a whosoever? Only God's particular whosoevers will truly call. This declaration goes out to the whole world. It goes to the whole world. I don't know who God's elect are. So He said, you tell it to everybody. You preach it to everybody. But only those particular souls that God has chosen to arrest and chosen to quicken and chosen to draw to Himself. No man can come to Christ except the Father which sent Christ draw that man to Christ. And only those souls that God makes to call will call. That's the first thing we need to understand about it. That's the very first thing. That's who will call. That's who the whosoevers are. All right, now, what is it to call? What is it to call? When you look these words up in a concordance, I have a concordance in my study. I have a concordance on my phone. That concordance is a dictionary that'll tell you what the original Hebrew word was. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew, and the New Testament was written in Greek. And it'll tell you what the original Hebrew word was, or the original Hebrew, the original Greek word was. I don't know Hebrew and Greek. So I look them up, and it'll tell you what word was originally used when the Lord wrote this through the writer. They were translated into English. And even in our English language, you know how you can listen to Old English and hear them use words that we know, but they don't mean the same thing they used to mean, right? So that concordance will tell us what the word was and what it meant at that moment in time when it was used. When we know that, sometimes we get a much clearer understanding of what is being said. So in looking up the two words, call on, whosoever shall call on, looking up those two words, call on, this is what they mean. Five definitions were given. Two of them really were the same thing. So four main definitions. I'm going to give you each one. And then under each definition, there was an explanation. I'm going to give you the explanations that the concordance gave for each one. And I honestly believe after seeing this, we'll have a better understanding of what it means to call on the name of the Lord. Here's the first and second definitions. They're really the same thing. Call on means to surname, to be named after. Now, a surname is a last name. That's what they say over in England. What's your surname? Okay, that's a last name. And then if somebody is named after somebody else, a lot of times we'll name a child after a grandfather or something like that. It's generally the first name or the middle name. So any of those three names, both of those definitions mean to take the name of. That's what both of them mean, to take the name of. To call on the name of the Lord is to take the name of Him. It's to plead Him and His name. It's to identify with Him. It's to acknowledge union with Him. Every time Hannah tells somebody that her name is Hannah Stonaker, it wasn't at first. But now every time she tells somebody, my name is Hannah Stonaker, she is identifying with me. That's what she's doing. She is pleading my name. Well, to call on the Lord is to plead union with Him. It's to plead submission to Him. It's to plead His name. It's to cry His name. It is a denial of my own name in order to plead His. That's why the wife takes the husband's name. That's the whole reason. When we get married, I cringe at ladies who don't want to take their husband's name. This is the whole reason why the wife takes the husband's name. It's a picture of how the bride of Christ denies her own name to plead His. That's what it is. I'm not coming in my own name. I'm not standing before you in my own name. I'm standing in the name of another. And I'm pleading His name. She cries, "Precious name, oh how sweet. His name is the hope of earth and joy of heaven." She cries, "Neither is there any other name given among men whereby we must be saved." What do you have to say for yourself? Jesus Christ. That name is above every name. Every knee must bow to that name. So to call on the name of the Lord is to, number one, plead His name. It's to plead Him. All right, that's the first definition that was given. The second one is, it said to call on is to call something to one. Now here's the concordance explanations that were given to that one. It means to cry out upon or against one. To charge something to one as a crime or reproach. To charge that to that person. To summon on a charge. To prosecute one for a crime. To blame one for. Can we not see the substitution of Christ in that? Though He knew no sin, He knew no sin. He was made sin for us. All of the blame for our crimes, all of it was laid on Him. All of it. He was charged with it. To call on the name of the Lord is to cry, He was charged with all of my sin. It's to cast it all on Him. Acts chapter 8 says, He bore the humiliation of it. He stood there and bore the humiliation of it. And like a lamb dumb before his shearers, He opened not His mouth. To call on the Lord is to say, He was blamed. He was summoned. The judge summoned Him. He was prosecuted and He was convicted of all of my sin. My sin was charged to Him. That's my only hope, is that my sin was charged to Him. My sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, was nailed to His cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. That's what it is to call on the name of the Lord. Here's the third definition. It means to invoke, to call upon for one's self, in one's behalf, as my witness, as my judge, to appeal unto. What that means is, for Christ's sake. That's what it means. For Christ's sake. It's to say, because Christ was my advocate. Because Christ was my mediator. Because I was judged in Him. Because I was judged in Him. Because all my sin was charged to Him. And I was judged in Him. Have mercy on me. For Christ's sake, have mercy on me. That's calling on the name of the Lord. It's pleading Him, pleading your substitution with Him, and pleading for mercy because of Him. Now, the last definition that the concordance gave was to call upon by pronouncing the name of Jehovah. It means to call upon God. To call upon God. If a sinner is going to truly call upon the Lord, then that sinner is going to call upon God Almighty. It's when that heart cries out, that heart is crying to the Almighty God of heaven and earth. It's to call saying, "Not my will, but thine be done." Free will? Oh, dear God, God forbid. Not my will, but thine be done. It's not what I'm going to do for you. In Matthew 7, they said, "We preached in your name. We cast out demons in your name. We had these church groups and these work things and these missionary trips." Clearly, that was not the Father's will. He said, "Whoever does the Father's will is going to end." That wasn't His will. He said, "That's sin." And to call upon Him is to cry, "It's not what I'm doing for you, it's what you have done for me. You're not in my hands like so many people think. I'm in yours. You're God and I'm not. I'm at your mercy. I'm at your mercy. I'm begging you for grace. I'm begging you to be gracious to me and to show mercy to me. I'm calling fearfully." Men in their words think they're approaching God just so flippantly. "Oh, I'm coming fearfully. I'm coming low. I'm calling reverently. I call bowing before you. I am bowing as low as this heart can get. That's how I come." That's what it is to call on the name of the Lord. And according to the Word of God, this will most certainly hold true. Most certainly. Any sinner who comes calling that way, if any heart cries, "I want to come that way," you can. If any sinner is drawn that way, pleading Christ, pleading His suffering for what I've done, and pleading for mercy because of His suffering, and pleading the Lord that called me to Him, "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Shall. Now, may God make us one of the ones who calls. I am as more serious than a heart attack. Let's not let that go in one ear and out the other. In your heart, call on Him. "I plead your name, not mine. I plead your work, not mine. I plead your suffering, not mine. I plead your judgment, not mine. I plead your perfection, not mine. I plead your will, not mine. Your God, not me. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Call that way, and you'll be saved. All right, you're dismissed.